Brothers and sisters, as I stand before you today in this closing session of this great inspirational conference, I express my love for my Father in heaven and for his great love that gave us his only begotten Son, and for his great atoning sacrifice, and for the great honor and privilege that has been mine through the years to represent him as one of his ambassadors of eternal truth and a witness of his divinity. For I do testify to you today that I know that Christ lives, that he is the Redeemer of the world, and that he has given us his church through restoration in this dispensation through the prophet Joseph Smith, and a pattern of life to live by through his gospel that will bring us joy and happiness in this life and exaltation throughout the worlds to come. Here last Friday in our meeting of the regional representatives of the 12, Brother Marion D. Hanks, who's such a wonderful storyteller, as you know, as he witnessed again this morning, used this little illustration in talking to the brethren. He said that the old leaves have to fall from the trees to make room for the new leaves to come. And I applied that to myself. I'm one of the old leaves in this church. I'm one of the oldest men. I think I can truthfully say that there's no other living man upon the face of the earth today who has stood in this pulpit as many times as I have in a general conference of this church, except President Joseph Fielding Smith. And if I figure correctly, this is the 74th general conference that I've been privileged to speak in. And as I come here and I listen to the testimonies of my brethren, then comes to me the words of the song that we sing. Come, listen to a prophet's voice and hear the word of God, and in the way of truth rejoice and sing for joy aloud. We've found the way the prophets went who lived in days of yore. Another prophet now is sent this knowledge to restore. And I wonder where in all this world men could go today and listen to such sermons as we've heard here that will exalt men and women and bring them happiness in this life and eternal exaltation in the world to come with their loved ones and with the sanctified and the redeemed of our Father's children. Then I think of the words of Jeremiah of old. He saw our day. He said, turn unto me, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. What a covenant. And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors after mine own heart, and they shall lead you or feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Where could you go in all the world today and find a fulfillment of that statement like we've witnessed during the sessions of this conference? Then I think of the words of the Savior. I think first of the fact of one of the statements in the Articles of Faith given to us by the prophet Joseph Smith when he said, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly. We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God. That I believe with all my heart. And I thank God for these volumes of Scripture. And then I think of the words of another of our articles of faith that reads like this. We believe all that God has revealed, all that he does now reveal, and we believe that he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That I believe with all my heart. I love to study the prophecies of the Scripture Many of them have found their fulfillment in this, the dispensation of the fullness of times, and others await their fulfillment. Then I think of the words of Jesus when he said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me." What a statement. And then following his resurrection, as he walked along the way by two of his disciples on the way to Emmaus, and he heard and were told that their eyes were holden, that they didn't recognize him. And when he heard what they had to say about him and his ministry and his crucifixion, he realized that they didn't comprehend what he'd been trying to teach them. So he said, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And commencing with Moses and the prophets, he showed them how that in all things the prophets had testified of him. Now, there isn't time to consider those promises and prophecies this morning, this afternoon, but they prophesied even to the casting of lot for his clothing at the time of his crucifixion. Then Peter tells us that he opened their understanding, the understanding of his apostles or his disciples, that they might understand the Scripture. And then we have the words of Peter where he said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, and we do well that we cleave unto it as unto a light shining in a dark place, until the day star rise in our hearts." Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For holy men of old spake not according to their own wisdom, but as they were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe that the words of the prophets are the most sure guide we have in this world today. I believe what Jesus said, that though heaven and earth pass away, my word shall not pass until all shall be fulfilled. Now, it's a wonderful thing in my way of thinking to think of the things that have transpired. In the time allotted to me, I can only mention briefly some of them. Isaiah saw our day. He saw the wilderness made to blossom as the rose. He saw the rivers flow in the desert, where we built these great irrigation canals under the inspiration of the Almighty. After our pioneers were led here to these valleys of the mountain, the wasteland, and nothing but their hands to labor with, far away from transportation or commodities of any kind. He saw the rivers flow down from the high places where it's been reservoired in these mountain fastnesses. He saw the daughters of Zion come up and sing in the heights of Zion. And where can you find anything in the history of this whole world to fulfill that like the singing of our tabernacle choir? Now all these youth conferences, this choir singing now for over 42 years without a break. And now with a Telstar singing unto the entire world. No wonder President Nixon said in his visit here last November that it was the greatest choir in all the world. Isaiah saw the mountain of the Lord's house established in the top of the mountains in the latter days, and he names the latter days when they would say, "Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he might teach us of his ways, and they might walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." How literally that has been fulfilled in my way of thinking in this very house of the God of Jacob right here on this block. That building, more than any other building of which we have any history, has brought people from every land to learn of his ways and walk in his paths. And I could tell you many stories about the great sacrifices our early pioneers and converts have made when they'd sell everything they had in this world and leave behind their loved ones and their friends and their occupation and come to a strange land and learned a strange language. And what brought them here? The house of the God of Jacob, that he might learn of his way, they might learn of his ways and walk in his paths. Jeremiah saw the day when it should no longer be said, as sure as God lives, who hath led Israel up out of Egypt, but as sure as God lives, who hath gathered Israel from the four quarters of the earth, whithersoever they have been scattered. Just contemplate that statement for a few moments. Think how the Jews and the Christians all through these past centuries have praised the Lord for his great hand of deliverance under the hand of Moses when he led Israel out of bondage and out of captivity. And yet here comes Jeremiah with this word from this holy prophet telling us that in the latter days that they shall no more remember that, but how God has gathered, scattered Israel from the four quarters of the earth. And Jeremiah saw the day when the Lord would do this very thing, when he would call for many fishers and many hunters, and they should fish them and hunt them from the hills and the mountains and from the holes in the rocks. Where do you find those fishers and hunters that we read about in this great prophecy of Jeremiah? These 13,000 missionaries of this church and those who have preceded them from the time that the prophet Joseph received the truth and sent the messengers out to share it with the world. And so they've gone out fishing and hunting and gathering them from the hills and the mountains and the holes and the rocks. I think that's more literal than some of us think. When I was president of the Southern States Mission, I remember going to a conference down in West Florida. It seemed to me like we traveled 100 miles and never saw a house. And when we arrived at one of those little chapels, there it was filled with 250 people. And I said, if you didn't come out of the holes in the rocks, I don't know where you came from. The Lord may know, but I don't. Well, that was literal. And we see that being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Malachi saw before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord would send Elijah the prophet to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children, lest he come and smite the whole earth with a curse. Just think of what a statement. The Jews are still waiting for his coming. I was in Israel a year ago last July, and on one tour we made to three synagogues, and there hanging on the wall was a big arm chair. I asked the rabbi what it was there for. He said, so we could lower it if Elijah should come along, that he might sit in it. And then I thought how they remain in darkness, and here we know that Elijah has come. If it were within the capacity of an ordinary man to comprehend and understand what's happened in this world because of Elijah coming, this great genealogical work, this library that can't be equaled anywhere in the world, these great vaults out here in the bowels of these mountains where these millions of recordings are being kept. No wonder Isaiah called it a marvelous work, and a wonder when the people would draw near him with their mouths and honor him with their lips, but their hearts would be far removed from him, and they would teach for doctrine the precepts of men. But these are some of the things, and many, many more, that have transpired in our day in fulfillment of the words of the prophets. No wonder the prophet said, we believe all that God has revealed, all that he does now reveal, and we believe that he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, there isn't time to go into the details, but Jeremiah described the gathering of our people here to these valleys of the mountains in just as definite terms as our historians have written it. How they should travel along the rivers of water. They travel along the river, the Platte River, for over 500 miles. how that they should come with their multitudes, their the aged and their young, and the woman with child, and yet he would turn their sorrow into rejoicing, and that they should sorrow no more at all. And he would satiate the souls of his priests with fatness. And that's why our people will respond to every call that comes to them, because the God of heaven, who creates the human, who created the human body and placed in it the life, has the way created the feelings of the human breast. And like Nephi of old said, the Lord hath blessed me with his love, even to the consuming of my flesh. Now, there are many other things that are about to be fulfilled. I just mentioned a couple of them. The Lord put it in my heart as a young man to have a love for the Jewish people. And someday, there's going to be one of the great movements of this church. In the Book of Mormon, we read that in the preface that book was preserved for the convincing of the Jew and the Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the very eternal God, manifesting himself unto all nations. And how can that book do that for the Jews unless we take it to them? So someday the Lord will inspire our leaders in his own due time and way to send messengers to that people. And then we read in the Book of Mormon how that we should turn our hearts to them. There's time to read that prophecy to you. And he said, what thank we the Jews for the scriptures when they would say a Bible, we have a Bible, we have no need of another Bible. And then in a revelation from the Lord to the prophet Joseph, 3 years after this church was organized in the 98th section, the Lord said, renounce war and proclaim peace and seek diligently to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers and the hearts of the fathers to their children. And again, the hearts of the Jews unto the prophets, and the hearts of the prophets unto the Jews, lest I come and smite the whole earth with a curse, and all flesh be consumed before me. That's not the wisdom of men. That's the wisdom of God, the eternal Father, as he gave it through the prophet Joseph in this day. Now, Jeremiah saw the day when the Jews, the kingdom of Judah, the house of Judah, would walk with the house of Israel. And then we're told that in Ezekiel that the day would come when there should be no more two kingdoms, but one kingdom, and one God should rule over them all. I pray that the Lord will help us to go on still fulfilling his promises, that all that he has revealed that has not yet been fulfilled. And I'd like to live long enough to see a little more even of these marvelous accomplishments as a part of this great gospel dispensation. With all my heart and soul, I bear you my witness of the divinity of this work, that God the Eternal Father has decreed its destiny. It's built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Christ our Lord as the chief cornerstone, and he is guiding his church today and will continue to do so until he comes in the clouds of heaven, as the holy prophets have declared. And I leave you that witness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.